You can put it on top of a Super NES. That's the only thing I'm getting out of this picture. Hey everyone, welcome back to Weekly Daily Wednesdays, where we sit back, relax, take that midweek break, talk about some of the fun things going on in the world of Linux and open source. I'm Vince Stone, joined every week by Jill Bryan. Everybody watching us live on Twitch, how's it going? Middle of the week, plenty of time to get into something dastardly.
Yes.
100%. 100%. Jill was like low-key showing off. She's going to help herself. Like, wrote it in the show notes, like, psst,
yes, I do.
What is that thing you were showing us, Jill?
So last week we were talking about the upcoming release of the Raspberry Pi 5, and the Raspberry Pi company sent me one last week. Yay! So cool. It was nice to get a little bit of a message forwarded from Eben Upton. So that was really, really nice. And they sent me the Pi 5. They sent me a whole kit. I got the keyboard and the mouse and the little heat sink. Isn't it cute? I still got to put that on it. It's so adorbs. Here is the keyboard. It looks very similar to my Raspberry Pi 400.
Yeah.
But it's just thinner. It's thinner than the Raspberry Pi 400 keyboard. So that's it's just the keyboard. And then I have the mouse, too. All the things. But that was so nice of them. So now I'm going to have fun. I've thought about a couple really cool Raspberry Pi 5 projects to do. And I have one I want to do here on LWW. So I'm excited.
It's pretty good. One thing we were talking about in the pre-show, and I was like, I think it's a little smaller. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe it is, maybe it's not. And I had that thought. I was like, yeah. I couldn't tell you the exact size of a Raspberry Pi, because what I was talking to last week, one of the deciders about not pre-ordering one for me was, I'm waiting for a case. Because kind of like a mobile device, a Raspberry Pi is something that I take out of the box and it goes directly into a case. I'm terrified of having something like that floating around on a desk.
Yeah. Yeah, Vin and I were talking about that earlier, and I realized that the same thing with me. I said, well, it looks like it's the Raspberry Pi 5 is smaller than the 4, but I have a Raspberry Pi 400, and my other Raspberry Pi 4 is in a case, too. So I haven't really looked at my Raspberry Pis in a while, because they're all in cases as well.
Oh, man.
Including, like, my Raspberry Pi 3 and my 2. I've got every generation. They're all in cases.
I got a 3 and a 4, and I got a 1. I know where my 1 is. I have no idea where the 3 is, and the 4 is running our Jitsi server right now. So,
yes,
there is that. My awesome. Mail package wasn't quite as interesting, because they sent me the wrong thing.
Oh, no. I know yesterday during Trackmania.
Yeah, like, oh, man, where's that? Yeah. And it was just like an old hipster camera lens that because I got one for like crazy cheap. And I'm like, can I just get another one for crazy cheap? And I put a bid on one and I was like, oh, I want another one. Huh. I get it. And it's for like a Minolta. I'm like, God. At least the seller was really, because now I'm at that thing of like, it was like a $20 lens. I'm like, I'm even going to go through the trouble of sending this back for $20, you know?
Yeah.
But the seller was super cool with it. I hit him up and I'm like, this is Minolta. I'm like, am I going to have to fight you over this? And what I wanted to see was like, did you just send me the wrong thing? That was kind of my hope of hopes, right?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you just accidentally sent me the, because this, you know, they make this particular lens. This is a lens from the early 70s. And they made it for Minolta. They made it for Nikon. They made it for Canon. And I'm like, did you just happen to have a Nikon laying around? Maybe with Ronnie. He's like, nah, man, I messed up. And I'm like, dang it. So now I got to make that decision of do I want to
send it back?
Send it back, get an adapter plate for it. And I don't know. Haven't made up my mind just yet, but something I did notice, if you run Debian, which is the correct Linux distribution to run, there was an update earlier this week, and about 100 packages got updated. One of them was Thunderbird, an email client that I use, and it now has the new interface, Jill.
Ooh, cool.
With a search bar at the top. And all the folders in weird places, and the inability to check my mail in each of my email accounts, unless the email account is expanded, But cool. I thought that was a good topic to start on because email, social media, web-based stuff can be hard to keep track of if you got a bunch of it.
Oh, definitely. So for those of you out there, do you like the look and interface of TweetDeck? I used to love it, but I don't want to pay X or Zitter, as we call it, instead of Twitter, Zitter. I like then started calling it Zitter. I didn't want to pay them to use it. Well, then FeedDeck is the perfect open source app to use. FeedDeck is similar to TweetDeck, but you can view many of your social media and RSS feeds. You are not just locked into one, which I really loved about this app. The feeds are organized in a column structure like TweetDeck and Mastodon. And the social media accounts you can view include Knitter, Reddit, Tumblr, X, Medium, and Mastodon. Knitter, by the way, is a free and open source alternative viewer for Twitter and X. So that's why it's called Knitter. It's cute. And you can also view your GitHub accounts. You can add your favorite podcasts, your favorite YouTube channels, RSS feeds, and Google News. I've actually set up my feed deck to view several of my favorite YouTube accounts, including Linux Gamecast and Linux News via Google News, and several of my favorite Linux podcasts, which I can play back with Feedback Deck's integrated media player. I was really happy they have that in there embedded. And there's a separate RSS podcast feed column for LWW, of course, on my feed deck. And it's kind of cool also because you can add several sources per column. So I can add the LWW audio podcast as well as the LWW YouTube feeds. So that's a really nice feature. And I have separate columns for Mastodon and X too. And unlike TweetDeck, though, you can't actually tweet. This is just a viewer for social media to keep a track of the news and all the peeps on social media.
It's a glorified RSS reader.
Yeah, it is. But it's really nice. It's really organized. I've been using it for the last week, and I've got like 16 columns now. And you can actually grab FeedDeck as a flat pack on FlatHub. Android and iOS apps are coming soon. And there is actually a really cool web interface as well. And native Linux, macOS, and Windows apps are coming soon. FeedDeck, though, is not completely free. But FeedDeck is free to self-host yourself. That would be a kind of a fun thing to put on a Raspberry Pi. That's for sure. See if that works on a Raspberry Pi. It should work just fine. And you can pay $5.30 a month for up to 1,000 sources, unlimited decks and columns, and the mobile and desktop apps you'll be able to use for the $5 and $30 a month. And I'm actually going to buy this because I really like this project. It's still a work in project. Not everything is working yet, but I really like what I see. And it is nice to have your RSS feeds, your podcasts, everything in one place. I have been enjoying that a lot. Yeah, so this is a really good application. And I like that you can self-host it for free. That's nice.
Well, I like that the option's there. And, you know, don't let the Flatpak scare you away because you can head over to their GitHub and start.
Yeah, I saw Tarjot GZ's on there too. Yeah.
Now, up next is version 8.0. of Odour, which is a digital audio workstation that I used for a long time. I did.
Woohoo.
Oh, man. Look at that. Woohoo. I have a scrolling plugin that if I don't get lined up just right, I can kind of go through.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle.
Right? So version 8 is out, and it is slowly crawling, kicking, and screaming into the modern era. I'm very happy to see that. One of the big updates in 8.0, it comes in the form of added support for the Novation Launchpad Beep Boop Tippy Tap Pro. Should I just scroll down here and show you what this thing looks like? Yeah, I should. Let's see. Da, 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 this thing, look at it. That's the Launchpad Pro. It's a control surface made entirely of rainbows and Skittles.
Yes, it's beautiful.
You can press on it and do all kinds of things. But now this critter, it works like it does in Ableton Live. It's going to work like that in Outdoor. You can also use it to launch clips and do your pans, gains, adjustments, everything else that you might normally do. And another big announcement is... here? Yes.
Here, yeah, it is. Look at that.
So this is freehand automation drawing. What is automation? Look at that. You're drawing curves, right? You, even if you've never cracked open a digital audio workstation in your life, you're like, I have an idea what's going on right there. You're like, yeah, those are keyframes. You can think about it like that. Now, traditionally, if you're drawing keyframes, then why would you have to draw a keyframe anyway? Okay. Say we were doing, I don't know, a podcast. Okay. Now, this is a good way to control volume. So we record a digital audio workstation, unlike, you know, let's say Audacity, right? Audacity, a lot of people are familiar with. That's like your first thing with a record button, and it records when you press record, and a lot of people stick with it. A DAW is non-destructive, so what it's recording is just the raw audio. Like when I'm talking, Jill's talking, it's just getting those, and that's what's safe. So anything you do to it afterwards is kind of layered on top of it, and it never touches that original raw audio. So when we're drawing these curves, let's say I was too quiet, or Jill was too loud, or vice versa, I could say this was just my gain automation. And I can go, well, I need this part to come down and this part to come back up. So when I play it back, everything will be balanced. Traditionally, you could only do this in chunks. You see the top there. That's the very segmented, you know, that's me trying to make a transparent GIF from a ping in Yump. You know, click, click, click. It's just straight lines. Now you can do the freehand drawing, which will give you that much smoother, more natural curve. And this is something that's been curiously just not in Outdoor for quite some time, unfortunately. But it's here. I'm very happy to see it. And they've also sorted a couple of long-standing jack issues with your audio and MIDI back in, but they didn't go into detail about that, so I don't know. And I've already put together the build guide for getting this up and running on Debian 12, compiling it from source if you want. I might have that probably later this week, maybe early next week. Bunch of good fixes, and if you use Outdoor, good news. I mean, support the project. I've bought Outdoor a couple of times. Outdoor is kind of one of the weird ones because you buy it with a subscription. And there's like a bunch of different, or I think you can do a $40 one-time donation and get it. Or, as you might think, wait a minute, isn't this just included? Yes, most distributions include it because it is open source software. So you're free to download it and build it yourself, and a lot of distributions package it, ship it, which is perfectly fine. Yeah, go play with it. I compiled it, I opened it, launched it, didn't have any problems with it. You know, just dragged a couple of things. I'm like, okay, it works, but... you know, I went over to the Reaper side these days. Why?
Yeah.
Why? It doesn't matter why. A digital audio workstation is a digital audio workstation, whatever you want to use. Here's what I say in all my Reaper videos. It's the best digital audio workstation on Linux with a scythe in the logo. Because you can't argue that. There's not another digital audio workstation with a scythe in the logo on Linux. And that's why I use Reaper. Fight me.
Yeah. Well, Finn, I actually love what the Outdoor blog states. And this was, when I read this, this is so true of a lot of open source apps on Linux. It states, some people will no doubt laugh at a few of these new features, given that they've been in some other DAWs for 20 years or more. That's okay. We laugh, too, when we see other DAWs finally adding things that Outdoor could do back in 2005. Lol. So true.
I wish that was still true with Outdoor. Now, you ever watched a movie, Joe?
Yes. What a perfect way to do that. So this is the CinePi version 2, an open source, high quality cinema camera using a Raspberry Pi. Yes, you can make your own home theater using a Raspberry Pi. It uses hardware and software available from Adafruit, Pymorani, SparkFi, Fun, and Raspberry Pi, etc. And the CAD and STL files are included, so you can modify it to your heart's content. And everything can be modified, like the buttons and the display. But the Raspberry Pi 4B and the high-quality camera module cannot be changed. So this project does require experience with a bit of soldering. Probably more soldering than I have experience with. But we have a lot of viewers in our community that know how to use soldering irons really well, like Finn. So the CinePi version 2, allegedly. Steve Husband, he knows how to use a soldering iron.
I definitely have projects that would not seem to make that statement true.
Oh, okay. I can do simple stuff, but I've never done anything really complex. Except, build little kits like Heath kits and that kind of thing. So, but the CinePi version 2 features a Super 8 sized sensor using a Sony IMX 477, a 12-bit Cinema DNG recording, a 4-inch high-res touchscreen interface, USB 3.0 external SSD recording, and an internal high-capacity battery. And doesn't it just look so cool? It's like a miniature old-school cinema camera.
What are my key criteria for my cinema cameras, Jill? They're shopping. I'm like, you know what? That's not cute enough. No,
yeah.
I'm not getting that one.
Not cute enough. And the detailed build guide is not out yet, but is coming soon. And I just want to thank you to our patron advisor, our Theron in chat, for posting this in our show suggestions in our Discord channel. This was a very cool project that he ran across.
Now let's get on to this guy. But first, we got to go to this most 1980s neon steampunk jiggly page. Look at this. This is so purple. What
awesome.
Is this? It's
Hi.
Zima.
I like, Ben, how you can use the middle scroll button to explode.
It was the part, When we're doing a show like this and people are watching live and they're watching the video version, it is super neat. When I was just trying to get to the bottom of the page to get to the specs, I was mad
because
I was
on a
tablet. Come on. So this is the Zima Blade. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Zima board. Yeah, the X86 mini PC, passively cooled, had that PCI hole hanging out the side of it. It was pretty decent. And it was starting at like $120 without a power cord, as I pointed out. And I was kind of interested in it. But I thought that was really neat. Right up until about now, because this is the Blade. This is the Blade.
Nice.
And it's truly a pie-sized brick. Look, it comes with neon and CRT monitors and a Super NES that you can just set it. You can put it on top of a Super NES. That's the only thing I'm getting out of this picture, because I don't know what you're trying to convey to people here. You can put it on
retro
top.
Retro look.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. This is the most nonsensical.
There's Matrix.
Yeah, dude. You can clearly lean the Zima Blade against other objects. That is what they're really trying to drive home. It's very good at being leaned against other things, up to including a Super Nintendo. But this is pie-sized blocks. The blade's kind of elongated. Did we just have some... Okay, this is why I have the other page pulled up, so we can actually get some photos of this cursed thing. There it is.
Yay.
This is pie size, slightly larger than a credit card, and it comes in the same dual and quad CPU flavors. And unlike the Zima board, this has got SODIMM. Bring your own RAM to the party. You decide how much memory it has, which is really nice. Now, I pulled up Geekbench numbers because I'm working on that Raspberry Pi video, and I wanted to see what the performance of the Raspberry Pi 4 was in Geekbench against the i5 3470 CPUs that are on these old Dell 3010s, which, are roughly about the same price as a Raspberry Pi 4. Decimated Raspberry Pi 4. It's not even... It's like, ooh. But then again, the Raspberry Pi 4 is using a couple of watts, and these things are using like 70 watts.
Yeah.
So the power envelope is kind of out of whack. But if... everything's to be believed, because they have the Geekbench scores for this. This thing is almost twice as fast as the 3010, as the i5-3470, which the i5-3470 is almost twice as fast as the Raspberry Pi 4.
Wow.
So you're like, okay, fine. Maybe you're going to shell out, you know, $100 for one. No, you're not. You're not, because they're $60.
Mm. Amazing.
$60, that's going to get you the basic 2.2 dual core. But come on, mini DisplayPort, USB holes.
Wow, all the things.
That's got a clear case. It's got a white PCB. You know, do you know how much better you can lean something, lean this up against something with a white PCB versus a green? It leans so much better. It really does. And it's got a real-time clock, I'm assuming, because it's got a battery hanging off of it.
There it is, the CMOS.
Nice little block diagram. Yeah, I'm more excited about this. I feel like I neo-dodged a bullet just a little bit on this one, because this is the one I would... if I'd ordered that SEMA board and this came out, I would be upset.
Yeah, yeah. Because this is what you needed.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one I want to play with. And there it is. Go, see, look, you can attach it to a graphics card, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at that. That's so cool.
You don't put a graphics card on it. You put it into a graphics card.
Into it.
They've already hit 179,000 of their 50,000 goal, and the funding ends at the end of October with... when are these going to ship, Jill? Did you look that up?
I didn't look it up, actually. But I just think it's so cool that, you know, it takes an industry standard SODIMM, Vin. That is so awesome that you can install your... So you can install your own RAM, and it says up to 16 gigabyte, which is pretty cool. Maybe you could push it a little bit more to 32. Who knows?
I found it. Okay, these are going to start shipping to backers. So if you get in right now, you can get, they're going to start shipping in January.
Nice. That's a good timeline.
Yeah. That's not bad. December, February, March. So probably somewhere around like March, we'll probably see some general availability for them.
Cool.
Yeah, you can absolutely... run pretty much anything. Like, I think it's a good thing, though, that they're really driving home the emulation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Intel's virtualization technologies on a computer this small is really a game changer, because that's so powerful. You know, that's the Intel implementation of that is stupendous.
How much for a power cord, Zima? How much for a power cord? $64? $64 and no power cord. 76, 96, no power cord, 120. There we go. Wait. Yes. $128 for the model that comes with a power cord.
Yes. And I think the Zima Blade, the 12 core, 48 gigabyte, 3 node cluster for $392. That's pretty sweet.
You know, that's the perfect thing to buy somebody in your family who just knows nothing about computers. Just dump that on them. Like, here you go. Thinking about you.
There you go. I actually love the cyberpunk theming, the design and the logos on the hardware, and you know, the whole website in general, and the design is as well. Just like with the other Zima board, that was kind of 60s modern looking, and this is more cyberpunk.
Yeah, they got to, I mean, that's who they're aiming for, because like...
Yeah, us nerds.
I wouldn't say us nerds, because I looked at that and I was like, that's a disease looking website, give me some numbers.
Yes. Well, you know what's so funny, Ben, is the way the PCIe connector sticks out makes it look like the buttons on a retro portable cassette player. That's the first thing I thought of. This is a cyberpunk cyberdeck cassette player computer. Yes.
All right.
You don't think so? Yeah, that's the first thing I saw.
No, I saw that and I'm like, I'm putting a fiber optic card in there.
Oh, okay.
Because that's been like one of the big hangups for replacing these Dell boxes. Like with an SBC, I'd have to use Ethernet, which would require me to not buy anything. I have a converters and all that, but this, I could just use my existing fiber optic cards and like slap them in the side. And just run them. So $60, man. Come on, I'm going to pick up two of these and play around with it. I look forward to it. Okay, we're 10 minutes over time, Jill. We got to run.
Okay.
Real quick before we get out of here, if you like what we do, but before I say any of that, thank you for supporting us. If you're a Patreon, patreon.com/Linux Gamecast, you make these shows possible. This is just us doing what we do, showing up, having some fun, do a bunch of little bonus things for you. You get early access to videos I'm working on behind the scenes if you're curious about things along those lines. If you like, can't make the live show and you want that in podcast format, we got it. You get a custom RSS feed over at patreon.com. And once I get my workflow hammered out, they haven't like locked it in yet, but soon as YouTube pulls that trigger on preventing me from removing the bazillion mid-roll ads, like I'm just going to start, because Patreon's got an option for me to just to upload the video where you can just watch it without commercials, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, that's nice.
And yeah, access to our Discord, coming out with me and Jill on Friday. We Tuesdays and Fridays, we do Track Mania. It's a nice little community hangout. We do. So if you want to have like conversations with either of us and scoot around some tracks and some cars in an 11-year-old game, we got you covered. And tomorrow night, Jordan's going to be back with, he's playing Baldur's Gate. He's doing a little bit of a playthrough on Linux, which is kind of interesting to watch. Mm-hmm. And Saturday, we do Linux Gamecast Weekly. Also, I want to thank Nubbin for a 40-month resub.
Yay, Nubbin! Thank you so all much, those. Nubbin.
And Basil threw down a resub on Saturday. Thank you for awesome. That. I think Basil was like 45. It was something abstract. I'm like, geez.
That's wow, like been on Twitch that long.
All right, Joe. We got to get out of here. Let's go ahead and bring up the music.
Yay.
And pull some credits.
Fun music.
Oh, did I not do the credits? Oh, I got to change the credits. I did do the credits. I did. Hang on, everybody. We're not
okay.
We're not dead yet. We got it.
Okay.
Boom. Ha.
There we go.
I forgot to modify it in OBS because I was splitting out the credits for a different scene.
Oh, okay.
Crysis 3. I've played the original Crysis.
Yeah, thank you, Nubbin, again for your 41-month sub. And thank you to Artharin also, again, for providing some topics for our show notes that you do every week, which is awesome. And we have so many wonderful patrons to thank, and I never can read them that quickly. But we have our death notes.
I'm sure you had to do a screenshot one day.
Yeah.
When you're older.
When I'm older. LWW. Right,
we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, you all.
Get your glow sticks. Play with your Zima boards.